I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill.
You're tuned to KDWA AM 1460 FM 97.7, and this is Community In Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have on the phone with me Senator Carla Bigham from the Minnesota State Senate. How are you doing today, Senator?
Good. Thank you for having me, Mike.
I'm glad that you're here. Our legislative season for 2020 is rapidly coming to a close. It's been quite the roller coaster ride as far as budget and economy goes in light of COVID.
Yep.
I want to start today by talking about the adjusted budget forecast that came out last week regarding where the state is. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. I mean, people will remember that the February forecast just a few short months ago had us projected at a $1.5 billion surplus, and that actually had grown from the November forecast. So basically, there's been a swing of nearly $4 billion, and that's with a B, dollars in just a matter of literally weeks. So now Minnesota Management and Budget announced this week that we have a projected deficit of $2.4 billion deficit for the ongoing biennium. And so obviously that's due to reduction in revenues coming in and also higher spending due to COVID. Just to put some context on it for listeners, we do have a very healthy rainy day fund, and Lord knows it's a thunderstorm out there. And so
we do have
$2.3 billion. You know, I'm a fiscally pragmatic person, and we can't just drain that and call it a day. And we do have to, as I have said, even with a surplus, proceed with caution. We are not going to solve this deficit for this year in the last week of session.
Right.
So I would expect, and I believe the governor has said such, that legislators should plan on coming back for some special sessions to address this. We don't want to make huge decisions without knowing the exact money that we're going to have in next year when we put together the budget. Maybe taking a systematic approach where we're going to make some cuts now in revenue and make some spending cuts, and then look at how we can balance our budget ongoing here in some phases. So what I mean by that is the state of Minnesota cannot deficit spend like the federal government.
Right.
And so we have to have a balanced budget. And so we need to have ongoing conversations. But, you know, I've said this, and a lot of other legislators have said it, that when COVID happened, we knew our deficit was going to go. Mike, the other issue that we have to focus on here is the federal government and their COVID relief money. It's called CARES money.
Mm-hmm.
And the federal government gave us about $2.2 or $2.1 billion. A huge chunk of that went to Ramsey and Hennepin County. And then we have about $667 million left over for counties and local governments. That will help offset some of this cost that we've had to incur because of COVID. And so between the reserve account, federal dollars, we're going to have to make budget cuts, hoping that the recovery isn't going to take as long. That is why I think we should take kind of a systematic approach to how we're going to resolve this issue. And we have some spending bills, some tax bills that are going to have to be decided here in the coming days of session. We end on the 18th. And so it's going to be, we're going to be in session every day this week. There's going to be negotiations going on. We still haven't had a decision about the bonding bill. And so we have a lot yet to do in the next few days here, 10 days or so. But that's kind of my thoughts, I guess, on the deficit and how we can take a look at it. We definitely don't want to just completely drain the reserve.
Right.
I give all credit to Governor Dayton and Senator Bach and Senator Cohen, who really demanded us to, this is, I wasn't there, I was a county commissioner when this happened, but demanded us to replenish the reserves. I think that was a great idea. We had, you know, a minimum amount we had to have in there, which $2.25 billion, I believe, was the requirement. We were over that. As I said, we have about $2.3 billion in reserves right now. I would actually like to see that be brought up to about $3 billion when we get back into a strong economy again. So those are the types of things we're looking at and dealing with here in the coming next, you know, like 10 days that we have.
How is it that Hennepin and Ramsey County got such a lion's share of that federal money?
The original CARES bill that the federal government passed had for counties over 500,000 were eligible for it. And being that Hennepin is over a million, they got a significant chunk from the federal government, and then Ramsey got a lesser amount, but still got it. So 85 other counties and cities, by the way. So cities got nothing. So St. Paul, Minneapolis haven't received anything yet. So there's going to be a discussion about that $667 million that is left over, and I intend on chiming in. Obviously, as a two-time local elected official, I have some experience in what it means to to be able to get this assistance and the overtime that staff has had, the PPE that they've had, the IT costs that they've had, a lot of this has fallen onto counties and cities. And if they don't get help, it means property taxes. It's the only thing they have. And so I don't want that. And so we have to figure out how in a fair and equitable way we are able to divvy up that $667 million that are left over. And I am hopeful that the federal government will pass another CARES bill that will help additionally with the states. I don't know how our congressional delegation feels about that, but I really would think that if this continues to go on, between our hospitals and other sectors of our economy are going to need additional help, and we're going to have to be looking at unemployment. But I also do feel that the governor is turning the dial, as he says, which is a fantastic analogy, and continuing to open up different sectors of the economy. You know, now at retail stores that can do curbside, he also opened up elective procedures and veterinarians and dentists. Slowly, as it's safe, the economy continues to open up. And I think you'll continue to see that happening, even if the stay-at-home order is in effect until the 18th. And again, I encourage folks to watch every day at 2 o'clock the update. You can watch it on pretty much any channel and radio station. I would encourage people to do that, to stay up to date on that.
One other quick comment on federal money. I know that that's not particularly your arena, but I did get a notice that Representative Craig was doing a lot and had a letter signed by some 47 local government officials asking Congress to expand that federal money out of just the larger populated areas into the rural and small town areas that will really need it coming up.
Yes, and I actually sent her and Senator Klobuchar and Senator Smith a letter as well. I think it's very important that they hear that. Myself and Representative Lori Halverson, who represents Egan, signed it. And I'm in constant contact. Every Friday we have a Zoom call with the Dakota County and the Dakota County delegation. I'm daily contact with Commissioner Slavik, who's doing a tremendous job of transparency and making sure that residents are safe, but also that it doesn't fall to property tax dollars. He's been a fierce advocate for that, and we talk daily on it. And so I'm going to do my best to make sure that we have a fair and equitable distribution. I'm going to keep encouraging Congresswoman Craig and Senator Klobuchar, Senator Smith, to pass another CARES bill. They still aren't really even talking about a stimulus bill that would help with infrastructure. And that job, when you put money in the pockets of workers, that's money into Main Street businesses.
Exactly.
We have to have a robust bonding bill. That's the best stimulus package we can get. And also spending the constitutionally dedicated lottery money, the environmental money that comes in from the lottery, is also jobs and funds good research and good projects and sustainable research for our environment. We have a couple options here, Mike, that we can do to create some jobs, and I think we ought to do that. you know, again, I go back to kind of what I was saying last week is we have to figure out housing for folks, and we have to figure out making sure that the wonderful angels that take care of our sick and elderly and most vulnerable population, people with disabilities, the personal care attendants are properly paid and can make a living and have a home. And, you know, we got to make sure they're paid well, because this is not going away anytime soon. And so, you know, I'm in contact with Helen Strike from Regina and hearing how they're handling COVID and making sure that we're in contact with them about their needs, and also put calls in and spoke to some of the long-term care facility directors. And, you know, the governor announced comprehensive approach to protecting Minnesota's long care facilities, and that's expanding testing for the residents, for workers, and making sure that they're getting that information faster, making sure there's protective equipment, ensuring adequate staffing levels, and really collaboratively working with those facilities to make sure that the residents are safe and the workers are safe. And so that communication and making sure we're addressing those needs are going to help us continue to be safe and functional as far as making sure that we have workers that are healthy to be able to operate businesses. Because stay-at-home order or not, if you don't have workers that are healthy enough, you're not going to be able to have your business open. And if you don't have customers that feel safe enough to go in, they're not going to go into your business, even at 25% capacity. That's why it's important we continue these conversations and continue to have collaborative, productive discussions with stakeholders.
With the session ending on the 18th, there are a number of other issues.
Yes.
Not directly related to COVID, I'm sure, but still, you talked about the long-term care facilities and elective procedures for dentists and veterinarians. There are some other things, too. You mentioned, as we were getting going this morning, you mentioned about broadband for rural communities. Is that going to be something, as I believe, is going to be a result of COVID? Talk about that one a little bit.
Well, I think it's important regardless. Pre-COVID or COVID, we weren't investing enough in our broadband infrastructure. The fact of the matter is, Mike, that this is not an outstate problem either. I mean, it is, but it's not just an outstate problem. It is here in the suburbs. I mean, people don't have quality broadband. And so what this bill does is it takes $8 million to be used to provide devices to students for online learning because of COVID, but also establishes $2 million for telemedicine equipment that will be administered by deed. And that helps making sure that people have access to quality medical assistance during this time, but also making sure that we have students that are able to use the computer and distance learning instead of having to drive a long time to park in a parking lot that maybe has Wi-Fi available for them to do their schoolwork. That's not acceptable. But also, there's $10 million made available for border-to-border broadband grants. Say that five times fast. targeting unserved areas. And so this is a great, it passed unanimously in the Senate. And so I can't tell you where it is in the House, but I can tell you that this is very much needed. You know, we have to make sure that all students are succeeding and that achievement gap is not widening because of distance learning, but also that people have access to telemedicine. And, you know, I was talking to Helen Strike from Regina, and telemedicine now is it's here to stay.
Right.
And it's going to be used more than it was before. And that's a good thing. I had an ear infection. I'm 41 years old. I know when I have an ear infection, and the doctor and I did the telemedicine and talked, and yep. And that was simple and easy. And I didn't have to expose myself going into a clinic. With education, we shouldn't have kids that don't have access to broadband having to drive miles upon miles to go find some hotspot somewhere to be able to do their homework. That's not acceptable. We don't want that achievement gap widened.
You have to get the legislation through. I understand that. But what is your dream date for getting that up and going?
That would be made available right away. And okay. So, again, that's also another jobs, right? I mean, it's going to create jobs when you have those technicians installing that. So that would be available right away. We passed bills unrelated to COVID about ending child marriage. You know, now you're going to have to be 18. Unless you were, I mean, if you were married at 16 or 17, now it's still a legitimate marriage.
Right.
But child marriages are unacceptable, and there's a lot of research that is clear that we don't want exploitation and that children who marry before 18 are far more likely to suffer from abuse and poverty, and it's not an ideal situation for a child, obviously, and right. we don't want children being exploited. So that is on its way to the governor's desk. You know, we also have passed HAVA money, which is federal money for federal government for elections, safe and secure elections. It's about $16 million that we were able to access through the federal government, and that will help with local elections that are coming up here in November. Well, you know, our primary and general elections coming up for personal protective equipment and resources that are going to be needed due to the anticipation of more absentee ballots. Provides for more flexibility for our counties, and it's just, we ought to be utilizing the federal money, and it wasn't held up this year as it was in the past over political gains. So I think that it's great that we were able to pass this, and I believe that's on its way to the governor's desk. And so we have a lot of things going on and a lot of balls juggling in the air. And, you know, I anticipate being in special session probably monthly going through the summer here. And, you know, we're going to just keep doing the hard work of keeping Minnesotans safe and keep trying to address the economic situation that we're in.
We've got just about 30 seconds left, a little bit more maybe, but I want to give you the opportunity again to provide your contact information.
Sure.
And I also understand that there is going to be a new way for your constituents to learn about what's going on in our district. Tell me about that, too.
Well, that's unrelated to any sort of campaign or anything. I just
right.
want to make that crystal clear. But I do have a podcast called Carla Talks, and that's on any of the platforms for podcasts. My first guest was Dr. Mike Osterholm, who you can't turn a TV on without seeing him. He is the director at the University of Minnesota for infectious diseases, and he's a longtime state epidemiologist through the years. So was very interesting conversation. But for folks wanting to get a hold of me over legislative ideas, that is 651-297-8060. And then also you can email me at sen, which is abbreviation for senator, .carla with a K, .bigham at senate.mn.
Senator Bigham, I'd like to thank you for spending another segment with us on Community In-Depth.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome. This is Community In-Depth. You're listening to KDWA AM 1460, FM 97.7.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No, but how I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
He signed your bill, now you're a law.
Oh, yes!
During this trying time in our ever-changing world, KDWA wants you to know some things will always remain the same. And that's our commitment to you, our listeners. KDWA is your only local full-time media source, bringing you what you need to know 24/7. Thank you for trusting in us. We're here for you. KDWA. Visit us online at kdwa.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Get ready for the Rhubarb Festival at Leduc on Saturday, June 6th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The Rhubarb Festival is a great family event sponsored by the Friends of Leduc and Historic Hastings, and proceeds support free school tours. Enjoy the bake sale, plants for your garden, the Simmons Shed Flea Market, make and take projects for children, a rhubarb toss game, as well as a story time by the Chicken Coop at 10:30 a.m. The Leduc House will be open for tours from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Join the Hastings YMCA for the 2020 Glow Run on Thursday, July 16th, starting at 7 p.m. You don't have to be a runner to compete in this race. Lots of family fun on a warm July evening. All proceeds benefit the YMCA Annual Giving Fund, which helps make YMCA programs and services accessible to all within our community. The event is being held at the Hastings YMCA on Pleasant Drive.